7 seconds. 7 seconds. 7 seconds. That's how long it takes the average person to come up with a first impression of somebody else. Just 7 seconds. 7 seconds isn't a whole lot of time if we're honest with ourselves. You can't say a whole lot within 7 seconds. And so when we make a first impression on someone that only takes 7 seconds, we're making that based on appearances, based on outward appearances, and based on how a person looks. All it takes on average is 7 seconds. And a first impression gets molded within our brains, gets molded within our hearts, and that's kind of how we view that person for quite some time. Research states this, that it takes 7 meetings after that first impression to change that first impression. So if you're wrong on that 7 second impression, it takes you meeting that person 7 times after that to change that first impression. First impressions really get ingrained within our hearts and with our souls very easily. Let me just share with you what I mean by that. I can remember a first impression. I was a youth pastor, and there's a senior kid by the name of Logan Conley. Let's just put it this way. Logan Conley did not get what we say, have a stellar first impression. And it took many meetings after that to change some of those things. If you don't know who Logan Conley is, he's our youth pastor. He did the announcements this morning. And I'm thankful that there's some more depth and some things there, but they weren't there on the very first impression. My point in saying this is that so many times we have a first impression of somebody, and we could be completely and totally wrong. We can be completely and totally shutting them out, and we simply make it based on some exterior or some type of appearance that they have, but it doesn't really get to the heart and to the core of who that person is. Our society, if we're honest with ourselves, and many times the Church of Jesus is this way, can be very judgmental, can be very labeling different types of people just based on the exterior. And for Legacy Church to be the church that God's calling us to be, we have to have a heart, we have to have eyes for people that are unseen, that there's more than meets the eye with certain individuals. You know why? Because my Jesus had a heart for the unseen as well. If you don't believe me, let's see what Jesus says in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25. If you don't have a Bible or a smartphone, let me encourage you, as we turn to Matthew 25, let me encourage you simply to raise your hand. Our ushers would love to come forward, and they would love to place a Bible in your hand if you don't own a Bible. It's our free gift from Legacy Church to you. Just put your hand up, they'll come forward, and they'll place a Bible in your hand. But as you're turning to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25, let me give you some background context on this passage of Scripture. The book of Matthew is the first book in the New Testament, so it's toward the latter half of your Bibles. And in Matthew, the whole premise is on who Jesus is. And Matthew takes this perspective that Jesus is God, that he is the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords. And as you're turning to Matthew chapter 25, we're coming to a point here with Matthew 26 and later, where Jesus is about to be crucified. And so these are some of Jesus' last words here on earth. And he wants to make sure that his disciples, the people around him, that they get it. This is why I've come to earth. This is why I am who I am. Don't miss this. Don't forget this. This is really, really important. And he has these two different groups of people, people who truly follow Jesus. And then there's this group of people here that we're going to read about, people who aren't really following who this Jesus guy is. So we're going to find out what Jesus means. He's speaking of religious people who they sound religious, who they sound like they have it all together, but they really don't. So let's see what Jesus is referring to in this passage of Scripture. If you're able to, will you stand with me in honor of God's word and read this passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 to 46 out loud together as a church family. Here we go. Ready? Read. Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, "Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked, and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't visit me. Then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? And he will answer, I tell you the truth. When you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. You may be seated. If you look at this passage of Scripture, these are some pretty bold words by Jesus. These are some pretty black and white type of things. And what Jesus is saying is very simple. If you have a relationship with Jesus, it will manifest itself by how you treat other people. And what he's saying here is there's these religious individuals, these people who call themselves Christians, but they're not living it. They're not changed from the inside out. And Jesus is saying how you treat unseen people, how you treat people maybe on the fringes or hurting, ultimately is how you treated me. And so he comes up with this long list. Listen, how you treat me is how you treat other people. There's a lot of people who are hungry, who are thirsty, who are naked, who are in prison. If you're not going to look out after these people, the question is do you have a heart for Jesus in the first place? And what he's saying is listen, you are known by your fruit. You're known by your actions if you really have a relationship with Jesus Christ. These are bold words by Jesus. Would you not agree? These are calling it how it is. If you love me, salvation is by faith only. If you have a relationship with me, it'll be exhibited by how you treat people. Not that your salvation is based on how you treat people. It's only by faith through grace in Jesus. But your fruit, the actions of it, you will develop a heart for unseen people. This must happen. This has to happen. If you don't have a heart for unseen people, you must have this question. Do I have a relationship with Jesus in the first place? That's what Jesus is saying. These are hard words, but these are truthful words. There's a number of things that we can learn from this passage of Scripture today. The first one is this. True believers in Jesus, they practice what they preach. If you have a relationship with Jesus, you practice what you preach. There's no such thing as a couch potato Christian, okay? There's no such thing as that. You practice what you preach. You have this relationship with Jesus, and Jesus has changed you from the inside out, and you start seeing things differently. You start seeing people differently, and you start practicing what you preach. You start putting your faith into actions. That's what Jesus says. If you don't believe me, look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 34 and 36. So we read earlier this passage of Scripture of people who are religious, but they're not really living it out. And then we have this passage of Scripture of people who really do get it. Their heart's been changed by Jesus, and they have a heart for unseen people. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34 to 36 says it this way. It says, then the king, that is Jesus, will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. In other words, these are the people that get it. They have a relationship with Jesus, and they're known by their fruit. What do they do? For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. He makes it very clear that if you have a heart for me, that you will develop a heart for other people. You'll develop a heart for unseen people. You'll develop a heart for people that are on the fringes. You'll develop a heart for people that are hurting. You will develop this type of heart. That's what it truly means to be a believer in Jesus. What he's saying is really simple is this. Our faith requires action. If you don't believe me, think about this. You can't spell the word God without go. Try to do that. Try to spell the word God without go. G-O-D. You have to go. Our God is a God of action. Our God is a God of results. Our God is a God of moving. And when he comes into your life to change your life from the inside out, we as believers have to understand that there's got to be some type of going that's involved. Not only has he changed our life, but we have to have our eyes and our hearts open for unseen people. You can't even have a relationship with God without going. God makes that really clear through the Great Commission. But I believe this, that the greatest sin within Christianity today is one of complacency. It's really easy to be complacent in America, right? I put my time in. I went to church. I gave a couple bucks. I did my thing. I got a Jesus necklace, right? I did my thing. It's really easy to be complacent in our world. It's really easy to go through the motions. And what Jesus is saying is this: you have to live by faith. You have to live by action. And one of the things that grieves me more than anything else is believers in Jesus who are complacent. It's easy to be a couch potato, right? It's really easy to do that. There's no couch potatoes when it comes to true believers in Jesus. If you don't believe me, look at this passage of Scripture. James chapter 4, verse 17 says it this way. James says, remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. It's sinful if you know you need to do something and you don't do it. So let me just give you some examples of that. Let's just say there's a sweet little lady and she's pushing her shopping cart and she needs some help. And you know, and the Spirit convicts you that you should help this individual. You know, at your heart of hearts, you should do that. But you rationalize it. You justify it. I'm going to be 30 seconds later to my kid's softball game or whatever, and you don't help them. If you know it's the right thing to do and the Spirit convicts you, and you rationalize and you justify it away, Scripture says that is sin. If you have someone that you know in your heart of hearts that you need to call or reach out to you, all it takes is a text message, maybe a simple letter, maybe a phone call. If you know that, it's real easy to rationalize or justify things in our mind. Scripture says if we know the good we ought to do and we rationalize it and we justify it away, that is sin. There's a book out there called The 10-Second Rule. It's a really good book. And the premise is this. When God tells you to do something, we generally have a 10-second window to act on it, right? Because if we don't act on it in 10 seconds, what happens? We rationalize it, we justify it, and we go and we do something else, right? So normally we have like 10 seconds to think about it. Are we going to help this person or are we not? Are we going to send a text message or are we not? Are we going to do this or are we not going to do it? You have about 10 seconds, and then if you don't, if you slip it to the back of your brain, you will rationalize and justify why you haven't done that, and then you will forget to do that. It's really easy to do that within our world today. Would you not agree? And I would say this, it's really easy to be complacent. We have the saying, too, fake it till you make it, right? Fake it till you make it. I don't think you want to fake it till you make it when you stand before Jesus. Can I be honest with you? You don't want to do that, right? If you have a relationship with Jesus, it will show up in how you treat unseen people. And Scripture's pretty clear. This is pretty black and white. This is a hard message for me to preach. If you know the good you should do in James chapter 4 and you don't do it, what is that? Sin. It's as clear as day. If we know that we need to do something to help someone, to be a blessing to someone, and we rationalize and we justify it, ultimately I believe that is sin. There's a hymn that I grew up with, and if you went to church for a while, you might recognize these words. The lyrics go like, yeah, this. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. You might have grown up in church. You might have remembered singing songs like that. Believers in Jesus, we need to be known for our love. If we're honest with ourselves, can I be honest with you for a second? Most of the people outside these walls, if you would say the term or label Christian, the word love probably won't be the first word they use to describe Christians. They might use words such as this person is judgmental. They might use words like this person is strict. They don't get it. Believers in Jesus, the first thing we should be known for is our love for unseen people groups. It has to be the first thing that we're known for, and many times it's the last thing. And it's sad, and it's painful, and it hurts me a whole lot. How will they know we're believers in Jesus? Do we love each other or not? Do we love unseen people or not? Are we there or not? Are we going to act on it or not? Or are we going to act religious? We're going to act religious. We're going to talk a little bit about what that means in a little bit. Here's a thought for you today. What would happen in our world? What would happen in Kendallville if Christians would read their Bible every day and then do what they read? Now think about that. How many of you have like some type of Bible reading plan and you read a couple chapters and you think to yourself, man, that was good, man. Like I read, this verse meant a lot to me. And then you go about your day, you tuck it in the back of your head and that's it. What if after a really good message, like, man, that message convicted me, like Pastor Dan was on it, the Holy Spirit was moving. What if whatever I preached about, instead of going to your favorite restaurant, filling up, and then like, well, I got to take a nap here. What if you actually like did something about it? What if like whatever the message was on, you put it into play? You put it into practice. You were a Christian who lived by faith and by action. What if you did that? How would Legacy Church be different? How would our world be different? How would Kendall be different if we did that? Whatever you read that day, if we're reading about prayer and you start praying the way that Scripture says, that's what you do that day. If it talks about reaching unseen people groups, that's what you do that day. Whatever you read, whatever the Scripture of the day is, whatever that is, you literally put into practice. How would our world be different? How would Kendallville be different? How would Legacy Church be different? It would make a huge difference in our world today. Christians need to live by faith, and they have to have a heart and eyes for unseen people. Here's another hard saying, but it's very true. How you treat the unseen people of this world equals how you treat God. It's an equation, okay? I know some of you are like getting ready for summer and those things. You don't want to do an equation here. It's a little too math for you. But here's a quick and simple equation for you, okay? It's very easy. The first part is how you treat the unseen people of this world. How you treat other individuals, especially people who are hurting. They might be on the fringes and those type of things. How you treat them is how your relationship with God is going. That's what the Scripture says. That's how you would ultimately treat God. That's what this passage of Scripture is saying. There's all these different people that have various needs. They're hurting in various ways. And Jesus says, he says, really simple. It's like how you treated them, how you treated the least of these is how you treated me. So I'm just going to be straight up honest with you. How you treat hurting people is kind of where you're at in your walk with Jesus. Okay? I'm just going to be honest with you. That's what Scripture says, because what's going on in our hearts is going to make its way out. And how you're treating other people is ultimately how you're treating God in your walk with Him. Scripture is very, very clear on that. If you don't believe me, look at Matthew 25, verse 45. This is this whole passage of Scripture where this individual who's religious but doesn't have heart change, Jesus says this to them. And He will answer, that is Jesus, I tell you the truth, when you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. So how do we view our relationship with God? What's kind of a barometer for it? How can we measure it? It's really easy. It's how we treat other people, especially unseen people, especially hurting people, especially fringe type of people. How you've treated the least of these is how you've treated me. Jesus is clear on that. That's as black and white as it comes. How you treat unseen people, in a sense, is ultimately how you're treating God right now. When you have a relationship with Jesus, God starts changing your heart from the inside out. He does. And you start seeing things differently. When you start walking with Jesus, you're going to start seeing things differently. You're going to start seeing people differently. You're going to start acting differently. It's going to start taking time, but it's a process. That's what's going to happen. I say it's like putting glasses on. And so just for the record, my staff makes fun of me all the time, but I am like really, really like nearsighted, okay? And if I don't have glasses or contacts on, it's just not a good situation. Yesterday, I like, you know, was getting ready for this morning, and I was so blind in our bedroom, I was putting like wrong stuff in my wife's bag. Couldn't even see, like it's obviously a girl's bag. Like I'm like, what is going on here? Like, this is bizarre. I'm like, oh, that's your bag. I can't even hardly see that. But we live in a world where everything's kind of blurry sometimes. Like, it's really hard because sin has marred everything. But when you trust in Jesus, it's like putting on glasses. And you've got this 20/20 vision. You start seeing people the way Jesus sees people. You start developing more clarity and focus in what it means to have a walk with Jesus and how to reach people. But it only comes when you accept Jesus in the first place. Let me also say it this way. Our society, our culture is very good at labeling people, right? It takes how many seconds for a first impression? How many? Seven. How many seconds? Seven, just 7 seconds. And we label people based on exterior things, right? Based on exterior stuff. So for instance, we label people based on the color of their skin. Sometimes that happens. We label people based on the clothes they wear. If you're in high school, we labeled you by the clothes you wear. Maybe you were a hipster or a jock or a preppy or whatever, right? We did it real easy. It happens all the time. We label people on exterior things all the time. If we change how we word labeling, this could literally change how you view people. Let me just explain what I mean. For instance, a woman is not a prostitute. Never look at a woman and say and label her as a prostitute. Say it this way. She is a person caught in prostitution. That's a really big difference when it comes to labeling. Because if you say she's a prostitute, that has this connotation of a negative connotation, that she's less than, that she's icky. But if you say that she's a person who's created in the image of God, who has value and has worth and is loved by God, and she's caught in this vicious cycle that we call prostitution, it makes a difference because we elevate her status as a human being. That makes a really big difference when we start saying that as believers in Jesus. Because here's the deal. We don't know her background story. We don't. Maybe she was being sex trafficked. Maybe she didn't have much of an option. Maybe she did this to try to raise support for her family. Maybe there's some other issues going on. We don't know, but we're quick to label something. There's no, never say a woman's a prostitute. It's a person who's caught in this vicious cycle that we call prostitution as a believer in Jesus. And this goes for everything as a believer in Jesus. Well, that person's an alcoholic. No, they're caught in the vicious cycle of alcoholism, right? Because they are a person created in the image of God, and they're an unseen person, and we need to elevate their status. But so many times when we label something, all of a sudden that label in and of itself demeans them, it puts them down, it makes them seem like they're less than simply based on this label. But they are a person that might be caught in whatever it is. Don't you see how that changes your thinking on things? All of a sudden, this person isn't dirty, this person is not worth anything. This person has value because they're a person and they're struggling with whatever issue that they're struggling with. And as believers in Jesus, it helps our head and it helps our heart when we think of people that way. We always have to think of people that way. Otherwise, we can become very judgmental and base everything based on exterior appearances. No woman's a prostitute. She is a person caught in prostitution. In a sense, no one's an alcoholic. They're caught in this vicious cycle of alcoholism, and they have value and worth in God's eyes. As I was thinking today, I thought this, and this is just as true as can be. The reason why Legacy Church exists, it exists for the sole purpose of helping the unseen be seen in Jesus. The reason why Legacy Church started from the get-go was because our heart is for people who are unseen, people who don't have a relationship with Jesus. So if you feel unseen or you're struggling with what it means to have a relationship with this Jesus guy, well, you're in an awesome place. This is the place to be. That's the reason why Legacy Church got started in the first place. And if our church becomes anything, and I'm going to say this over and over again, if our church becomes anything other than this, if it becomes all about status, if it all becomes about religious things that aren't impacting people from their heart level, I will shut it down and we will shut it down. It's about helping unseen people be seen in Jesus and to grow in their walk with Jesus. That's why we exist as a church. Amen? And we have this saying at Legacy Church. We say it all the time. Clothing is not optional, but what you decide to wear is. Simply put, please come to church with clothes on, okay? The only time we'll like say, hey, you might want to, you know, is if you come naked. We'll give you some clothes to wear. We don't care what you wear. You know what we care about? We care that you're a person, that we want to help you grow in your walk with Jesus. All that other stuff really doesn't matter at the end of the day, right? You're not going to stand before Jesus and Jesus is going to be like, well, hey, why aren't you wearing these type of clothes? I don't think you're going to be worrying about that at the end of the day, right? What we care about is where is your heart and your soul with Jesus? And are we as a church reaching unseen people? Because Scripture's pretty clear. If we have a heart for Jesus, we'll have a heart for other people, especially those on kind of the fringes and on the outskirts of life. Scripture's clear on that. I want to take a quick pause, though, before we go any further. I just want to say this. There is a difference between judging someone and trusting someone, okay? I just want to say that. There is a difference between judging someone and trusting someone. As believers in Jesus, we should never judge someone. In other words, look down on them or label them as less than. But if someone's hurt you over a period of time, there's a difference between judging them. We need to forgive them, but we also might have to take some time and go through a trust process, right? There's a big difference between judging somebody and trusting them. Scripture's pretty clear, we shouldn't judge. But there's also a time when we need to protect ourselves and go through this process of regaining trust. That's a good thing, and that's a smart thing. Scripture says it this way, we need to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves, right? Think about that. We have to be wise, have to understand what it means to trust, but we also have to be gentle as doves. We should never label or judge anybody. Here's one last major thought, and this really gets my blood stirring. This is the crux of the message. My God hates religiosity that does not lead to heart change. I'm going to be straight up honest with you. My God hates religiosity that does not lead to heart change. He hates people going through the motions, but they really don't have a relationship with Jesus. My God thinks that's putrid. He thinks it's disgusting. Scripture says he wants to vomit people like that out of his mouth. It's nasty, it's disgusting, and he hates it. He hates dead religiosity to the core. My God hates it. Let's see why. Look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 46. This is Jesus talking about the individuals who have all this religiosity. It looks like they're doing and saying the right things, but their hearts are far from God. This is what he says in Matthew 25, 46. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go into eternal life. In other words, Jesus is saying it's pretty simple. If you have a relationship with me, you're going to develop a heart for unseen people. And if you don't have a heart for unseen type of people, the question needs to be asked, do you even have a relationship with Jesus in the first place? That's what he's saying. And my God hates dead religiosity. Think of it this way. Who are the people in the New Testament that Jesus really butted heads with? Who are the people that he kind of got, you know, duking it out with? Who was it? Was it the people on the fringes? Was it the people on the outskirts? It was the religious people of his day. It was the Pharisees. It was the Sadducees. And they were all about the status type of things. They're all about the status. They're all about the fame. They're all about trying to look spiritual, but they weren't spiritual at all. And my God was the one, he was the one who would attack them. Jesus said, listen, do you have a heart for unseen people or do you not? Are you about this for the show and the money? Do you want to feel spiritual? Do you actually want to be spiritual when it comes to reaching different types of people? This is what Jesus had to say about the Pharisees. This is what he had to say about the religious leaders who acted spiritual, but their heart was far from God. This is what he has to say about them. In Matthew chapter 23, just look at these verses on the screen, verses 27 and 28. What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees, hypocrites. Now, I don't know about you, but if you don't want to get far with someone, call them a hypocrite. I don't know anyone who likes to be called a hypocrite, right? He's saying, listen, the pain train's a-coming, religious leaders. Sorrow is going to await you. You're being hypocritical. And what does he go on to say from there? For you are like whitewashed tombs. You're beautiful on the outside, but you're filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Kind of what Jesus is saying is like you're like a tomb that's really clean on the outside, but on the inside you're full of dead people's bones. In other words, I would rather hang out at Hite Funeral Home with a bunch of corpses than hang out with you guys because you're dead on the inside and to the core. You act religious, but you judge and you label people based on the exterior, and you have nothing going on the inside. You have nothing going on inside at the heart level. You're like a whitewashed tomb. And then he goes on to say this. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, right? You look like the churched people. You look spiritual. You look religious. But inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. At the end of the day, your heart is far from me. Because you're all about the fame, and you're all about the status, but you're not about helping those whom Jesus really cares about. You sing the church songs, and you put a couple dollars in, but you're so legalistic, you're so hypocritical, I don't want anything to do with you. My God hates dead religiosity. He hates it when the church of Jesus puts people in certain boxes and we label them and we judge them based on exterior appearances. My God hates it. It's putrid. That's what he's saying about the religious leaders. And think about this. Think about this. The people that the religious leaders kind of put to the margins of life, that's who my God cared about. And so many times, they wanted to say things and do things to these individuals because they hated Jesus so much. So Jesus would heal somebody on the Sabbath day. They don't care that this person's been healed. They care because Jesus has healed on the Sabbath day. It's the holy day. You shouldn't heal somebody on this holy day. And Jesus is like, listen, you are so legalistic. You are so hypocritical. You are so labeling people. You are so judgmental. You can't thank God that this person is now well. You're coming after me for healing on the Sabbath. Here's another instance. In John chapter 8, there's this woman who is caught in the act of adultery. What do the religious leaders and the Pharisees want to do with this woman? They want to stone her, right? They want her to be killed. And what does Jesus say? Whoever sinned first, you throw the first stone. The Pharisees were really good at writing people off, but Jesus was good at writing people in. That's who our God is. They wrote people off. They put them to the margins of society. They labeled them. They boxed them. They said, they're unclean. They're unrighteous. And my God said, no, 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 no. This is a person, and they might be caught in this sin issue, but I care for them. I'm going to die for them. And we as believers in Jesus, we have to. We must do the same. If Legacy Church is going to be the church that God calls us to be, we have to develop a heart for unseen people, for hurting people, for people on the fringes. If we don't do that, we're in trouble. I'm just telling you right now, we're in trouble. History and psychology is pretty clear. If we don't act when God puts something in our path now, we will rationalize it and we will justify it and it won't get done. So my question to you today is really simple. Who's that person in your school or your work or your neighbor who's unseen? Where the majority of people would box them up, they would label them, they would say, this person probably doesn't have a chance, they're no good, their appearances are X, Y, and Z. People have wrote them off, but Jesus wants to write them in. What are you going to do about it? We have to develop a heart for unseen people. Who's that person? What's that thing that you have to do? My prayer is we as a church, that we wouldn't gather on Sunday mornings to go through a worship service, but we would do things to make a difference in the hearts and lives of people every single day. What are you going to do when we're done with the service? Let's pray. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, thank you so much for your Son, Jesus. Thank you, God, that you're a God who cares. And thank you, God, that you're a God who cares about the heart, not the exterior. Because if you cared for some of those things, I'd be in a world of hurt, which is what we all would be. Help us to be a church, God, that cares for unseen people. Help us to be a church that doesn't label people and that puts people in a box based on exterior things. Help us to not be a judgmental in any way, shape, or form. But help us to help people because you have done some incredible things in our hearts and lives. You've died on the cross for our sins. The least we can do to reciprocate gratitude for that is to help people that are hurting, that are on the fringes, that might be on the sidelines. My prayer is that that person that's coming to each person's mind this morning, that you would help us to do something about it. Help us to not just go home and forget, but to send a text message, bake a meal, do something to help people who are unseen. God, thanks for this opportunity to be reminded of that, and thanks that you're a God who cares for the heart. We pray these things in the precious holy name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. Hey, if you could just remain seated, we're going to do something a little differently this morning. And so I have a friend that I want to introduce you to. And Corey, you can bring your friend up if that's okay. Corey is going to bring up his friend, Terry. As you guys were coming into church this morning, yeah, you might have noticed that there was someone who's maybe a little different, someone that you might not have noticed, someone who might have been unseen. And so this is Terry. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Dan.
Thanks for being here, bro.
You're welcome.
We have a microphone. If you need to sit down, you can, Terry. You're good? So, but our game plan was to see how our people react if there is someone who is homeless. How our people react if there is someone sitting in front of our church who might not be dressed like us, who might not look like us. What would that be like? And so we asked Terry to do that. So real quickly, Terry, just two questions if you could. Thanks so much for doing that.
No problem.
Question number one is, why don't you just introduce yourself and how you know Corey?
My name's Terry Wood. I know Corey through my son, fishing, and his work. That's how I know Corey.
And so my question was this. I didn't know. I wasn't out there. How did our people do? Did they look out after you? Were they kind? Were they gracious? Were we the hands and feet of Jesus? Because my prayer is that Legacy Church just isn't church, that we don't play games. But how would you describe, what was the experience like?
Everybody was awesome. Cookies, donuts, coffee, gave me donation. One lady invited me to go to lunch with them. Just an eye-opener. It's just great. Just awesome.
Well, that's awesome. And my prayer is that this wouldn't be just an exercise, that this would be something that we do every single Sunday, Legacy Church. If you don't get this, get this. Church isn't a game, okay? We're talking about heaven and hell.
We're talking about life or death. And we have an opportunity as a church to make a difference in someone's life. I got one more question for you, Terry. I wasn't going to script this. But based on what you experienced this morning, I know that you haven't gone to a local church. Would you consider down the road, based on how we treated you, would this be a place that you'd feel comfortable and loving?
Oh, yeah. No problem. No problem whatsoever. It's awesome. Awesome group.
Awesome.
Thanks, awesome. Here's your donations.
I don't need it.
I got to apologize to this guy. I had to lie to him quite a bit. This guy here in the red shirt, I had to lie to him quite a bit out there when we were talking. My wife is sitting over here, and I saw my kids yesterday. So we had a nice little talk.
That's awesome. So. Hey, we'd love to pray with you. And here's my prayer, okay? I want to pray for Terry. Terry, thanks so much for doing this. This is a blessing for us. And this is more than just an exercise, okay? My hope is that our church is more than just a gathering of people. I don't want to be a church that just does services, okay? That's not who God's created us to be. I want us to be a church that reaches people for Jesus. And to do that, it might mean that you have to come in late for a service because someone's sitting outside that you have to care for or have a conversation with. I'd rather you do that than be on time for service sometimes. Does that make sense? We have to be the church of Jesus. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray for you, Terry, but we're also going to pray for the unseen people in our world. So if you could simply just extend your hand out. We're going to pray for Terry, but we're also going to pray for, there's a lot of unseen people in the Kendallville community. So let's pray. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God, I lift up Terry. Thanks so much for doing this. And help him understand that he's loved, he's cared for. I pray that this is a great first experience when it comes to church-related things, that you would soften his heart, that he would understand that your love and your care for him, and help us as a church to really care and to be appreciative of him, because he is created in the image of God, and you have some great things for him. God, as we extend our arms out, help us to be a church that extends our arms out, that we will be a church that reaches unseen people, that we will be a church that will do whatever it takes short of sin to see people come into relationship with Jesus. Help us to live by faith. Help us to be a church that lives by actions. And help the people here that live in the Kendallville area and surrounding areas, help them to know that Legacy Church cares and that you care for them as well. Help us to be a church that looks out after unseen people. Help us to do whatever it takes. We pray these things in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Hey, will you thank Terry again? Feel free to come up and say thanks, man. Thanks, bro.
Can I say one thing?
Oh, you want to say one other? Go ahead.
Yeah. Everybody that gave me donations was from young to elderly to women to men. So it wasn't just one kind of person. It was the whole, from young to old to women to men, you know?
Yeah.
So it was great. It was awesome.
That's what the church should be, man. Thanks so much for doing this again.
You bet, Dan.
Hey, make sure you thank Terry. Have an awesome week. You're dismissed. Let's be the church. Let's reach unseen people and do whatever it takes to do that. Thanks. Have a good week.